Seated. Now we come into chapter 2, Jeremiah chapter 2. In chapter 2, it's talking about the weakness and the backsliding of God's people and its consequence. So-called the weakness or backsliding, it's all come from God's perspective. You know, we look into a matter, there are two perspectives. One from the human being perspective. The other one from God's perspective. And a lot of time, these two perspectives will come to totally different conclusion. For example, most of people consider culture is improving, is evolving, and become more civilized. And this is from human perspective. But from God's perspective, from God's divine nature, which never change, from God's will, or God's words, which never change. And this generation become more wicked, and this generation become backsliding in their faith. So as a Christian, sometimes we have to adopt two views. In order to survive in the world, we need to have a understand of the worldly view, so we can communicate with them, we can know them. It doesn't mean we subscribe their view, but we have to understand them. If we don't understand them, first, we cannot survive in the Gentile. The second, we cannot guide them to the church. So we have to understand how the people in the world view a lot of things. So we cannot isolate. We have to live the life most of people live, in touch a lot of things, people in touch, so we understand them. And the second view is we need to understand from God's perspective. So as a chosen people of God, we will not be drifted away. We will not be carried away by the worldly culture or worldly tide. So these both are equally important. Of course, the God view is more important. If we know God's view, we don't know the worldly view, it's fine. Right? But if we only know the worldly view, we don't know God's view, it's very difficult to survive spiritually. If we all understand two views, well, that would be the best. Then we know how to defend our own faith. So how come, how to defend the faith? You must know which party. What are they preaching, right? What's wrong with their preaching? So we can understand their wrong preaching and we can defend ourselves. Even we don't understand our preaching, then we just 100% believe what I believe is right. That's good enough. That's good, right? But if 100% believe what I believe, plus I understand how the other people preach, even though that was wrong, then it's good. So we can gradually guide them back to the truth. When the Bible says the weakness and backsliding of God's people, that's from God's perspective. But from their own view, they don't feel that way. From their own view, they don't have that kind of feeling. So a lot of time from God's perspective, people are blind, blind in God's way, don't know God's way, blind to know themselves. And that kind of ignorance sometimes is fatal. A lot of time, ignorance about this and about that is no good, all right? But it's not to the point of fatal. But ignorance about God, is the consequence is great. Now we look into verse two, chapter 2. There are three kinds of sin the Israelites commit in chapter 2. In the first few chapters, it seems we go a little bit slow, because after the first few chapters, it seems the theme repeating again and again. So once we know the first few chapters better, then it's easier to understand the chapters after that. The first sin in teaching material, the chosen marital love is prone to change. Now we look into chapter 2, verse 1. Moreover, the words of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the hearing of the Jerusalem, saying, thus the Lord, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothal, and when you spend after me in the wilderness, in the land not sworn, Israel was holiness to the Lord, and fruitful of his incense, and that devour him will offer. Disaster will come upon them, say the Lord. Here talk about spiritual marital relationship. When did that relationship start? When the Israelites make covenant with God, that relationship start in the Mount of Sinai, right? They make covenant with God. So God will be like their husband, and they will be like God's wife, spiritually. What we are talking about, spiritual. After they arrive the land of Canaan, they become prosperous, and everything been blessed by God. So gradually, their attention just gone away from God, and their attention just focus on the culture in surrounding them, the idol worshipped by the Gentile, the other tribes. So to God, it's a betrayal, betrayal of the marital covenant. You know, the biblical concept about marriage is different from most of the worldly concept, right? Especially nowadays. Nowadays, what does faithful means, right? Faithful means when you enter a relationship, then you should not interest in another party, right? That's called faithful. If you are in a relationship, and then at the same time you have another relationship with another party, then you become cheating or unfaithful. Now this is nowadays definition. But the biblical way is not that. The biblical way, marriage is a unity in one. Two shall be in one. And this one body relationship lasts forever. So this is a biblical concept. Also, a lot of people in the world, before they get married, they already have a sexual partner for 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, even 10. All right, and they have cohabitation, they have a lot of relationship. And they consider faithfulness start from when the time they are serious about a person who want to get married with a person. And before that, everything just pass. Don't think about that. That's most of the worldly people, right? So there was an article in New York Times about 2-3 years ago, talk about the Ivy League school, especially pinpoint in Princeton and UPenn. I talk about weekend hookup. They are so busy in study. So they all have their very ambitious, their goal, want to be a doctor, want to be this and that. So they don't have time to invest in a relationship. But they do have that kind of desire or lust. So what should I do? This is nothing new. This become more popular. So every weekend, they know in the school or somewhere around school, there's a particular location in bar or some kind of location. And they know the opposite sex. They can meet the opposite sex and to fulfill each other needs. And they don't know who is who. That's called weekend hookup. A lot of people engage that kind of relationship, right? And they don't consider that it's a kind of unfaithfulness because they are not committed. No, it's only fulfill their own needs, that's all. But after a few years later, they finish the study, they are stable in the company, and they seriously think about marriage. What was gone, right? Then they start everything from new. At that time, they consider what is faithfulness. But that's not the biblical concept, no. Biblical concept is you can marry one time in your life, only one time. If you have second marriage, only because other party pass away, right? So when you start want to enter a relationship, then a person have to think about this will be the only one and last until I die. So this is so-called one body concept. But in the people in the world, they don't have a concept of marriage is one body. Marriage is a partnership, just like a business partner. One day if your business go bankrupt or you cannot work together, then you go your own way, I go my own way, then you find your own new business partner, I find my own new business partner, right? Then we still can be a friend, but you have your partner, I have my partner. That's nowadays concept of marriage. It's a partner. You cannot get along with each other, then you just separate. And you find your own one, I find my own one. So we cannot use this kind of now worldly concept try to understand the Bible. It's difficult to understand that. If we use a worldly standard to understand the Bible, then what? Today I can believe in true Jesus Church. I can believe in Jesus. And then after 10 years later, I find there's a better religion. Then I can start to believe in Muslim. Then 10 years later, probably I'm longing for the Oriental, that mystery, mysterious religion about meditation, then I go to Hindus. If we use nowadays concept of marriage, we will develop different state, worship different God. And it's not the biblical concept. The biblical concept is God is only one. And we are saved by his blood. So the time we receive the baptism, we betroth to Jesus Christ. And this relationship is lifelong until we die. And when we die, we go to heaven. When Jesus second coming, there will be a wedding banquet. Then after the wedding banquet, there will everlasting life together with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. So one and only and last forever. And that is the concept of marriage. And that is the concept between man and God. So there is no second one. There is no second chance. So faithfulness means you have only one and that will last until you die. So if we use the biblical concept, then it's easier for us to understand why God says so. So when the Israelites originally, right? They love God and God loved them, especially When they were in Egypt, they cried aloud to God, and God sympathized them, and God sent Moses and used 10 different kind of powerful miracle to subdue the resistance of Pharaoh, and used a powerful miracle to separate the Red Sea, to crossing the Red Sea, and used the powerful miracle and send down manna, and the river come out of the rock, so they can survive 40 years. All these kind of experience tell them God loved them very much, and they were all also very appreciative to God. And that time, from Mary's point of view, Israel and God are very close. They love each other. But later on, when they reached to the Canaan, and that kind of love just become shaky. God's love no change. God's love no change. But their love to God start to change because the third party involved. So their love just start to change. And that third party is idol. So it aroused God's jealousy. It aroused God, provoked God's anger. So this is the first sin, chosen marital love, prone to change. God will never change, but our attitude with God, prone to change. The second sin mentioned in chapter 2, we read chapter 2 verse 11. Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods, but my people have changed their glory? For what does profit? Nobody changed its god. Because God is the only one, but the Israelites did change God from the living God to the idol. And verse 12, be astonished, O heaven, at this, and be horribly afraid, and be very desolate, says the Lord. So verse 12 is the warning. Why? Verse 13. For my people have committed to evil. They have forsaken me, the fountain of the living water, and hewn themselves cistern, the broken cistern that can hold no water. So there are two evils. The first evil to forsake God. The second evil to worship the idol. Forsake God, don't worship idol, that's only one fault. Forsake God, worship idol, the two fault. So here, we know God is the fountain of the living water. And the idol is a broken cistern that cannot hold water. So a lot of times people ask why we baptize people in the living water. Sometimes we quote this verse. The living water represents the living God. And the idol represents a pool of dead water, no life there. So this is the second sin, the fountain of the living water. And the third sin they had committed. Now we look into verse 20. Chapter 2, verse 20. Okay. For of old I have broken your yoke and burst your bond. And you say, I will not transgress. When on very high hill and under every green tree, you lay down a praying the harlot. Yet I have planted you. So verse 20 actually talk about worshiping the idol. And verse 21, yet I have planted you a noble vine, a seed of highest quality. So God considers the Israelites just like a vineyard. And then the vineyard is the highest quality, because they are considered the prince of God, highest quality. Then how then you turn before me into a degenerate plant of an alien vine, the wild vine? For though you wash yourself clean and use much soap, your iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord. So the third sin to God means Israelite originally is a good vine. And now Israel turned into become a wild vine. What does that mean? Good vine and wild vine. If you look into First John, let's see First John. First John chapter, not First John, the book of John chapter 15. The book of John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. So Jesus Christ said he is a true vine. And this true vine is different from other vines. How come? The other vine are taken care of by or the wild vine is taken care of by the human being. And Jesus Christ, the Father, my Father, God, is a vine dresser. And then verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears the fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more. Verse 5. I am the vine, and you are the branch. So he who abides in me, and I abide in him, bear much fruit. And without me, you can do nothing. So here we know vine represent God or Jesus Christ himself. The true vine means our life connected with him. So we can bear the fruit, glorify the name of God. And the wild vine the corrupted vine, means their life is not connected with God. If the life is not connected with God, they cannot bear the fruit. The vine become sour. It's not a sweet vine. It become useless. So, to the children people, when they start to worship the idol, in the eyes of God, it's become a wild vine, it's become no value at all, it become useless. In the eyes of God, no value at all. So, chapter 2 talk about Israelite, three kind of sin. The first, betray the marital love. Their original husband, unfaithful. The second, they forsake the living water, and turn into a pool of dead water, which is the idol. The third, originally they are the true vine, connected to God. But right now they worship idol and become the useless vine, the wild vine, cannot bear the good fruit. So there are the three parables to help to understand the sin. God rebuke the wickedness and backsliding of God's people. Okay, since they have sinned, right? So there is consequence. Sin and consequence go hand by hand. So why we should not commit sin? Sometimes even sin can be forgiven, but the consequence persist and linger. Right, just like David, right? If we count David, he commit 3 out of the 10 commandments. Right? David. Not only commit adultery, he commit murder, and he commit the last one, covet other people's wife, right? And he prayed bitterly, God forgive him. However, you look into his family, so many tragedy happened, the consequence continue. So even God can forgive our sin, the consequence you cannot get rid of it. You have to face it. And so because of this reason, the best way is don't commit sin. So if we want to sin, don't think there will be no consequence. So a lot of people, when they sin, they just pretend nothing is going to happen. Nobody know it. Nothing is going to, negative is going to happen to me. That's called foolishness. Because this is the law of God. And this law of God, right, apply to everybody. Just like in your age, right? If you think when you are 50 years old will look like the same like you, it's impossible, right? Ignorance, when you are 50 years old, it definitely will be look different from now on, now where you are, right? Because there's a law applied to everybody. The same thing. If we do righteous, we will be blessed. If we sin, then we will harvest the consequence. This is law applied to everybody. Nobody can escape it. So the Israelite unfaithful servant, now we'll look into what the consequence. Chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 4. Hear the words of the Lord, the house of Jacob, all families, the house of Israel, say the Lord. What injustice have I, your father, found in me, that they have gone far from me, have followed idols, and have become the idolater. This translation is not very faithful, huh? Now, talking to another translation. Chapter 2, verse 5. Okay, another version of King James. Right? Thus says the Lord, what iniquity have your father found in me, that they have gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? That this is more correct. once we depart from God, right, everything become vain. All our planning, everything will become vain if there is no God. If we look into the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 21 and 22. For though they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor give thanks to Him. But their thinking had futile, and their foolish heart were darkened. So this is a consequence. If we forsake God, right, then our thinking become futile. Why? Our thinking just exactly follows the pattern of Ecclesiastes. If we have no God, if we do everything not because of God, then everything become futile after we die. Even not before we die, everything already become futile. Everything become meaningful only because there is God, and we do it for the sake of God. I study, right? Why? If I take God away, study is futile. Right? Even you get a good job. But if we put God into my heart, I study. It's very meaningful. Because I study, I can have a better tool to serve Him. And study become very meaningful. Oh, I make money. Right? If I take away God, make money is only raise a family. And after die, finish. But if we put God into our heart, I make money. So I can use the money to love God and love man, and making money become very meaningful. Oh. So a lot of things, if we put God into it, it become meaningful. We take God out of it become meaningless. Oh. So Israelite forsake God, the first consequence is originally their life become very meaningful because that kind of harmonious relationship with God. Once God is taken out, everything become meaningless. Because you worship idol, the false god, become meaningless. Life become meaningless at all. No eternity there, no life there, no meaning there. So this is a first consequence. Let's come back to Jeremiah chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 6, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 6. I brought you into the bountiful country, eat its fruit and its goodness, but you defile my land and make my heritage an abomination. The priest did not say, where is the law? And those who handle the law does not know me. The ruler also transgressed against me. The prophet prophesied by Baal. And walk after the things that do not profit. Therefore, I will yet bring charge against you, says the Lord, and against your children's children, I will bring charges. For pass beyond the coast of the Cyprus and sea, and send the Kedar, and consider delightedly, and see if there had been a things. Have a nation change its God, right? So therefore, the charge will be brought against them. No. So God original is their father, their husband. Right now they desert God. God become standing on opposite side, become a prosecutor, try to charge their sin. If we deserve the God we worship, deserve the God who cleanses our sin, then what should we do? God will become our enemy. Original, the one who blesses us in return, will become our enemy to judge us. Live a life without God, the consequence is very terrible. Chapter 2, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, let's continue to read verse 14. 14 to 19, suffering the consequence of wickedness. Is Israel a servant, and is he a homeborn slave? Why is he plundered? Verse 15, the young lion roar at him and growl, and they make his land waste, and his city were burned without inhabitant. Verse 16, and also the people of Nob and the Tephelis have broken the crown of your head. Have you not brought this on yourself, that you have forsaken the Lord your God when he led you in his way? And now, why take the road to Egypt to drink the water of Sihon? So all this talking about after they forsake God, their life will be so totally different. And verse 19, your own wickedness will correct you. And your backsliding will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing. So betray God, worship idol is an evil and bitter thing. Originally in the book of Deuteronomy, God take care of the Israelite, just like we take care of the pupil in our eyes. It's so precious. You know, the most precious tender part in your body is the pupil in your eye, right? You protect it because it's so vital, you can see. And so God take care of the Israelite, just like taking care of the pupil, very precious. But now, God just forsake them, and their land become wasted, and allow the foreign nation to invade. Why? Because God take away the protection. And God's grace was not there. So desolation will come. So a lot of times, when we live our life, it's pretty good. We take it for granted. We think, because I work hard, so I have achieved what I have right now. And we don't know. Today, we live the life like what we're living now is because of grace of God. If we read the book of Job, right? Job chapter 1 talk about Job, everything is good. He has a lot of cattle, a lot of property. He has a lot of children, and everybody respect him, and he was very healthy. But in the spiritual, from the spiritual perspective, it was because God put a fence surrounding him to protect him. But that invisible fence cannot be seen by eyes. So people take it for granted. And then when God have a dialogue with the Satan, let's see the book of Job. That if we read the book of Job, we know every day we are living under the grace of God. Oh. The book of Job. Chapter 1, verse 9. Chapter 1, verse 9. So Satan answered the Lord, say, does Job fear God for nothing? Verse 10. Have you not made a hedge around him? Around his household and around all that he was in every side. And you have blessed them, the work of his hand, and his possession have increased in the land. Verse 11, but now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. So what Satan said about Job is half is right and half is wrong. Oh, which part is right? He was talking about because God used a fan to protect Job, and this part is right. And what was wrong? He said Job worshiped God because God protect him. That was not right. So after God deep up his protection and temporarily allow Satan to attack him, then what happened? All the property, all the cattle die, all the children die, all what he had, he lost. All simply because God take away the fence. No. So today, the reason we can live the life we are living, very healthy, everything do according to what we plan, it is because God guides us and protects us. But once we forsake God, if God take away that protection, a lot of things is going to happen. Our life will be none, will not be the same. So Jeremiah chapter 2 talk about the Israelite, right? After they forsake God, their land, they desolated. And how come? Because God take away the blessing and protection. So this is the consequence. Now, the life become meaningless, become void, and then their relationship become God broken, and God's protection and the grace just left them, and they start to suffer. So for this reason, from Jeremiah chapter 2, we understand it's so important for us to remain faithful to God and to be a good vineyard and to choose as living water instead of the dead pool of water. Oh, okay. That's pretty silent.